Welcome to Sefer Tehillim with the Tanakh podcast. Today, Mizmor Lamed, chapter 30.
Elecha, Hashem Ekra, Ve'er Hashem Echana, Elecha.
May our learning of Tehillim be for the zchut of Chayalei Tzva Hagana Yisrael, for their safety and success, for the swift return of all the hostages, for the healing of all the wounded, and for the return home of all those who have been evacuated for months from their homes around the borders of Israel. Today we learn a special chapter, Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid, something that we say, Mizmor Lamed, that we say every day at the beginning of Pesukei DeZimra. And what we're going to really talk about today is the problem of hubris. You know, there are times in life where we think we're so safe. We might say that was the case before COVID, before Corona. We all felt so secure, then suddenly everything fell apart. We might say that before the 7th of October. Before the 7th of October, we felt tremendously safe, even if we were, you know, in a state of national dispute internally, but we never imagined that our borders could crumble in the way they have. And suddenly in a moment, it seems like things have sort of fallen apart. And this is going to come back to the phrase which we're going to talk about, Ani amarti b'shalvi, in my state of calm. When I was untroubled, I said, Bal emot le'olam, I will never be shaken. I will never collapse. So today we're going to talk about the problem of hubris, or maybe just the illusion of security in our lives. A second question we want to discuss today is Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid. What Chanukat HaBayit? Dedication of which house? David never dedicated the temple. So what do we mean when we say that this is a song for the dedication of the house to David? But let's learn the chapter and see what it's about. It starts off with four lovely words. Aromimcha Hashem ki dilitani. I will raise you up, God, because you raised me up. I'll raise you up because you raised me up. Velosi machta oiveli. My enemies couldn't rejoice over me. How did God raise him up? Well, let's see. Hashem Elohai shivati elecha vatir pa'eni. I cried out to you, God, and you healed me. So maybe he was sick. Apparently he was sick in a very dangerous way, because Pasuk Dalad, Hashem he'eleta min she'ol nafshi, right? You brought me up from she'ol. She'ol is death. Chiyitani, you gave me life, miyor dibor, instead of going down into the pit, going down into the grave. And therefore, zamru l'Hashem chasidav, all of those who are faithful to God, let them sing to him, v'hodu l'zecher kodsho, and praise his holy name, ki rega ba'apo. His anger is only for a moment, but chayim birtzono, when he wants it, there is life. Be'erev yalim bochi, bechi, at night there is crying, ula boker rina. So this is a classic song of praise. We describe how the Meshorer, the poet here, says that he was in a terrible situation of sickness. At death's door, he cried out to God, and God saved him as a result of that. He comes to two conclusions. Number one, that everybody should praise God. And number two, that God's salvation can come in a moment. Be'erev yalim bechi, at night I'm crying. Ula boker rina, and in the morning I'm singing. Wow. Ki rega be'apo. God's anger is only for a moment. Chayim b'rtzono, but God really wants life. And that's a good reason to sing. I'm going to miss out Pasuk Zion for a second, but let's go to Pasuk Chet, where it says, Hashem b'rtzoncha he'emadata lahariyoz. When you wanted, same word, right? Chayim b'rtzono. When you wanted, you made me firm as a mountain, but hisarta panecha. But when you hid your face, hayiti nivhal. I was terrified. Eilecha Hashem ekra ve'el Hashem etchanan. I cry to you, Hashem. I plead with you. Ma betz abadami. Why? What can be gained from my death? Buriditi al shachat. If I descend into the pit, hayodecha afar, does dust praise you? Hayagida mitecha, can it talk about your truth? Shema Hashem v'chonini, Hashem ayeh ozeli. Hashem, listen to me. Be kind to me. Give me grace. Help me. And now I'm confused, because we just read a history about how the person has been saved. How the person has been saved. And now suddenly we're pleading with God again. What is this pleading? We should be just singing the praises. Didn't we just say that Zamru Hashem Chasidav, we should be praising God? So why are we back in Pasuk Tet and Yud and Yud Aleph saying, El Hashem et Hanan, Shema Hashem v'chaneini, listen to me. And by the way, we have the summation in Pasuk Yud Bet, Hafachta Mispedi L'machol Li, you took my eulogy song and turned it into a dance. Pitachta Saki v'tazreni Simcha, you took my sackcloth, a sign of mourning, and you clothed me with joy. In other words, death turned to life. So I will sing your honor, and I'll never be quiet. Hashem Elohai, le'olam odeka, I will praise you forever. When you read this chapter, you will notice the thought of transience and permanence, right, is very central to this chapter. But what is happening here? And the key verse is the verse I missed out, which is, Ani amarti b'shalvi bal emot le'olam. Apparently, the poet is telling the story about how he was sick and he got better. And he therefore says, right, Zamru l'Hashem chasidav, praise God, v'hodu l'zecha kadsho, because he only gets angry for a second. And then he has a moment of reflection. V'ani amarti v'shalvi. When I was in a state of calm, when I was in a state of routine, Amarti balemot leolam, I said, I'll never be shaken. In other words, this person has now gotten better. And he says, you know what? I was so complacent. We go through lives assuming that our health is going to hold up, Bezrat Hashem. We go through life thinking that we're safe. And it takes something very small to break that thin veneer of our security. And it's almost as if once they mention this, they go that the Meshorer, the poet, goes deeply back into this moment of darkness in a much deeper way. And it starts remembering it, or possibly in the present, starts getting very nervous about just how vulnerable they are. And therefore he says, you stood me like a mountain, but when you hid your face, I was in a state of shock, and starts pleading again, Elecha Hashem Ekra v'el Hashem Etchanan. I cry out to God, what's the point of killing me? I can't praise you if I'm dead. Shema Hashem v'choneini, Hashem hayeh ozeli. What we're seeing is that as we go through the chapter, there's almost a deeper sense of vulnerability. And it is here where Rav Aviyah HaKohen, a friend of mine from Alon Shavud and a very sensitive reader of Tanakh, he's written a wonderful book about Tehillim. He starts trying to probe what is the Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid. Let's give some traditional interpretations. Ibn Ezra, for example, says, what does it mean, Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid, the dedication of the house, that David had instructed the Meshorerim, the orchestra, the choir of the temple, that when they would set up a temple in Solomon's time, they would play this. So David had already written the music, composed the music and the lyrics to be sung at the dedication of the future temple that he wasn't allowed to build. Some people want to say that, and this is the second explanation of Ibn Ezra, that it is Chanukat HaBayit HaSheni o HaShlishi. Ki dimaya me galut ni me hacholi. What's this sickness? It's a national sickness. That this idea of us almost being at death's door and then being revived is a national story, not a personal story. And in fact, it's the story of the nation, and therefore this is the song of triumph when the Galut ends, either the second temple or the third temple. But the third interpretation here is, and this is mentioned by the Ibn Ezra, or mentioned by the Radak, is the idea that it is actually the song that David's composed for, not the Beit HaMikdash at all, but his own palace. Isn't that fascinating, right? The idea that this is about his own palace. And now let me read Rabbi Aviyah HaKohen. And he says like this, A Perek of Tehillim unravels the sense of security that is inherent in the notion of a house and exposes the fragility of the human experience. Moshe already warned the Jewish people of the danger lurking in the transition from a nomadic, transitory existence in the wilderness to the life of permanence in the land, the danger of middle-class living, a nice new house, a focus on material acquisitions. All of that has a tendency to generate forgetfulness of God as the source of all of this bounty. The homeowner might say, Kochi v'otzem yadi, asali et hachayil hazeh. It is my power, it is the might of my hands that have given me all my achievements, my security, my peace of mind. And that's why Moshe reminds us about the wilderness experience and the smallness of human existence in the face of the forces of nature. And that's the end of the quote, right? So what we're saying is that this chapter is really reflecting on the fragility of existence. Moshe told us about that. Rav Aviyah there is talking about chapter 8 of Dvarim, but it's true about this too. So David, at the moment when he's dedicating his house, he, with the danger of self-centeredness, the idea that we have this illusion of our control. We live in our air-conditioned or our warm houses with running water and flushing toilets. But the truth is that human beings are very fragile. And this smallness needs to be reinforced because so often we just have this sense of hubris. And therefore this key line, Ani amalti b'shalvi b'alemot li'olam, throws us into this sense of vulnerability. But of course, please God, we should always be animated by the final psukim. Hafachta mispadi, all the death should become a dance, right? We will dance again. Pitachta saki, we'll take off our sackcloth, and we, to Azreni Simcha, will be wearing a belt of joy. Laman yizamer hakavod, that one day we will, all our troubles will simply fly away and we will be able to sing God's praises. With the understanding that really our lives are indeed fragile and we exist but by the grace of God. Thank you for listening. See you tomorrow. Shema.